Yesterday we were evoked, said Fra Osa. He was the first red shirt I had seen during the melee, the one who had covered me with his spear and perched on it one-legged. He was probably in his fifth decade.
They said we should go to Tredegar. We consulted a globe and determined that the most efficient route was via Masht.
The Ringing Vale was 100 or so miles outside of Masht. From there, a great circle route across the ocean would take one almost to Tredegar. So this made sense as far as it went.
Local people gave us transportation to Masht. We found it as you found it. Those of us who speak Flukish sought transport on a ship. We were approached by your magister.
My magister? I shouted. Then I saw the faintest trace of irony on Osa's face. He was half joking, but only half.
Sark, he said. He is well known to us. He comes to our apperts and speaks to us of his ideas.
Osa shrugged and made a gentle bobbling motion with his hands, which I thought was his way of telling me that they tried to weigh Sark's preaching fairly.
In any case, he recognized us in the street. He told us that a lone avout was being pursued by a mob. We saw it as an emergence.
For a moment, I thought he was slipping into broken Flukish, trying to pronounce emergency. Then I remembered some of the Vale lore that Leo had drummed into me over the years. During the time of the reconstitution, literally in the year zero, when the sites of the first new maths were being surveyed so that the cornerstones of their clocks and minsters could be laid down, a team of freshly sworn in avout had journeyed to a remote place in the desert to begin such a project, only to find themselves under siege by mistrustful locals. For the place they had been sent was covered with jumpweed plantations, and they had stumbled upon a shack where the weed was being boiled down to make a concentrated illegal drug. The avout were unarmed. They had been pulled together from all over the world and so had little in common with one another. Most of them didn't even speak Orth, but it so happened that several of them were students of an ancient school of martial arts, which back in those days had no connection with the Mathic world, even if it had been developed in monastic settings. Anyway, they had never used their skills outside of a gym, but they now found themselves thrust into a position where they had to take action. Some of their number were killed. Some of the martial artists performed well, others froze up and did no better than those who had had no training at all. That sort of situation became known as an emergence. A few of the survivors went on to found the Ringing Vale Math. According to Leo, they spent almost as much time thinking about the concept of emergence as they did in physical training. The idea being that all the training in the world was of no use, maybe even worse than useless, if you did not know when to use it. And knowing when to use it was a lot harder than it sounded, because sometimes, if you waited too long to go into action, it was too late. And other times, if you did it too early, you only made matters worse.
The most salient feature of the enemy was its thoughtless aggression, Fra Osa said.
He reached into air and closed his hand as though grasping the wrist of an attacker who had tried to punch him. It was an eloquent gesture, which was convenient for me, since Fra Osa did not seem inclined to say more than that about the strategy they had used.
You reckoned, as long as they are in such a mood, let's really give them something to be aggressive about, I said, trying to draw him out a little more.
Fra Osa smiled and nodded.
So you grabbed that one person and started,
Here for once I broke off instead of telling the truth, which was that they had been torturing that geef. I didn't want to seem critical towards these people who had just risked their lives saving mine. Fra Osa just kept smiling and nodding.
It is a nerve pressure technique, he said. It seems to hurt a lot, but does no damage.
This raised all sorts of interesting questions. Was there really a difference between hurting and seeming to hurt? Was it permissible to torture someone if it didn't cause clinical injuries? But again, there were all sorts of reasons not to pursue such questions now.
Well, anyway, it worked, I said. The mob turned against you. You staged a false retreat and drew them into a trap. Then you made them panic.
More smiling and nodding. Fra Osa simply was in no mood to wax eloquent about any of this.
And how long did you have in which to devise this plan?
I asked him.
Not long enough.
I beg your pardon?
There is no time in an emergence to think up plans, much less to communicate them. Instead, I told the others that we would emulate Lord Frode's cavalry at Second Rushy Flats when they drew out Prince Terrazin's squadron, except that the canal edge would substitute for the tall canes, and that little square would take the place of bloody breaks. As you can see, it does not take very much time to say these words.
I nodded as if I had some idea what he was talking about, which I didn't. I couldn't even guess which war he was alluding to in what millennium.
What's with the red t-shirts?
I asked, though I already had my suspicions.
Fra Osa grinned ruefully. They were issued to us at Voco,
he said,
donated by a local arc. I look forward to reaching Tredegar so that I can go back to the bolt and cord.
Speaking of which, he shook his head.
Your bolt, cord, and sphere are lost. Perhaps we could have gotten them back, but we departed in some haste.
Of course, I said. Not a big deal.
And it wasn't, in one sense.
Fraz and Sewers lost theirs from time to time. New ones were issued. But losing mine in this way made me feel pretty bad. They had been with me for 10 years, and they had a lot of memories associated with them. They had been my last physical link to the Mathic world. Now that they were gone, I could be any old secular. Which might be safer. No one could yank them out from concealment and wave them around and try to lynch me. But it made me feel lonely.